Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
Are we ready to receive the word this morning? We had a brilliant week. We'll tell you more about that as we unfold it and unpack it and think about it. But it was profound on lots of levels. But we had this moment, and here's the thing. Maybe for the other guys who were there, it was more like a holiday. But for the pastor here, he was working his tail off. Isn't that right? So that's we worked really hard. And I want to say thank you to the guys who actually went. So that was Gary and Phil and or Gary, Paul, and what's you called again? Adam. And just kidding. Because actually, God did something really incredible there. And it wasn't a great week. It was a hard week. It was full on tough in terms of the pace of it, but it was deeply encouraging. And we've got Josh and Tara coming up actually at the 23rd of December. Going to be here for 2 weeks. Josh is going to preach her first service into the new year for us, and it's going to be fantastic. And I had this moment, and I want to tell you about it because I think it was a moment for all of us. But in the moment that was happening for all of us, God spoke to me very clearly. And it was just sometimes all it takes is one word from the Lord to spark something in your heart to go, that's it. You get me? And why was it so profound? Because, for the last number of weeks before I went away, I've been saying, we sit under grace all day long, and our heart for us is grace. There's no other gospel other than grace. Do you get that? I mean, that is the gospel, the unmerited favor of Jesus to renew you and restore you, body, soul, and spirit, is the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is not angry with us. He's not upset with us. He's not trying to do us in. He only wants to lead us from glory to glory and grace to grace. Amen? So there's more for us. But the problem is we're not walking into it. Why? Because we need to take what Jesus has done by grace and apply faith to it. Remember, we were on this track over the last few weeks. Yeah, if this is all news to you, then what you need to do is go and maybe listen online. And so the thing about the word says that as you first received grace, so therefore continue to walk that way. So you are saved by faith, okay, through grace through faith, Ephesians 2 verse 8. And it's these two things together working in tandem where at the very heart of who we are is grace. And even I was listening to Pastor Prince this week, and he was talking about the same thing, about taking faith to step into grace, all right? Because we have to believe in who Jesus is and what he has done, and then we have to take that for ourselves. Does that make sense? And so the reason why I want to say to you, many of you, and myself as well, when I've looked over the last few years of my life, I think I have pulled back. For lots of different reasons, and we talked a lot about that this week when we were away, I have pulled back personally from actually taking more steps of faith because this church was started in faith. Do you get that? And it was started in this belief that whenever Jesus revealed his grace and it captured our hearts, that we wanted to have a place that would capture thousands of men and women for grace. Do you get that? And so Penny and I, many years ago, and I don't think it was anyone there in this room today at that stage, even the building that we're sitting in, was big steps of faith at that stage to go, holy smokes, Jesus, if you're with us, we're going full on for it. All right, we're in. And we signed the lease and we had no money to pay for the lease and we just had this, but Jesus, you're with us. This kind of crazy thing of, if you said it, Lord, you're going to do it, so we're all in. We're all in. We're going to live an adventure with you, Lord. And I didn't leave my career, and Penny didn't leave her career, to kind of play it safe or to have Jesus as a bolt on, because it never works that way. Jesus just says, when you come to me, just like I gave it all for you, you go all in for me and you'll live an adventure with me. Okay, is that good? And so during the week, there was lots of things going off in my head, but I was reading it in the book of Joshua. Let's put up Joshua 1 verse 9 there. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And I was starting to think about this because he says, do not be afraid. Over the last number of weeks, I've said to you that your feelings are a really bad indicator normally of what truth is, okay? Sometimes our feelings can reflect what's really going on, but if we live by our feelings, generally we're going to be stuffed, all right? We've got to have a different thing to refer to, a different point of reference in our lives, because we will feel afraid most of the time. All right? That's generally what happens. As we are receiving grace and receiving the love of God, we should see that there's a corresponding ability to believe for God. But let's get real. Most of us, when we look into the future, there are multiple sources of things in our lives that can make us feel afraid. Isn't that right? Okay? And so it's okay to be real with that, because we have to face the world not as we pretend to be, but as we actually are. But the Lord is continually saying to us, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. If that was a word for me, that was it. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, the Lord is with you. Not because you're good, because he is good. Not because you're faithful, because he is faithful. Not because you've got it together, but he's the one who holds the whole world, the whole universe in his hands. Not because you're smart, but because he is the source of all wisdom. Do you get that? So don't be discouraged. This morning you've got to say to yourself, I will not be discouraged. Because wherever I go, he is with me. Amen? Yeah. And so this is not a time to lose your head, folks. All right? It's definitely not a time to lose your head. I had this sense this week of the Lord saying to me, whenever there is a blessing coming into your life, there will always be a battle. There will always be a battle around the blessing in your life. Why? Because the enemy steals, he kills, and he destroys. And rather than being pushed over, we've got to gird up and say, Lord, if you are preparing us, okay, if you're preparing me for more blessing, then I know that the devil will only attack where he feels there's something to be gained, something that he can steal from me. And so with every blessing, there comes a battle, but we cannot be discouraged. We cannot shrink back. Why? You know, like a thief doesn't rob an empty house, isn't that right? He only goes somewhere where he can get something. And I want to say to you today that the Lord says to you that his grace has already supplied for you things that you don't currently possess. So do not be discouraged. Things that are in your heart that you long for, that you want for, you know, you don't currently possess them, but he wants the very best for you, body, soul, and spirit. And just because you don't possess them, don't be discouraged about that yet. Because listen to me, I was sitting with, we went to see Rhema Church. Rhema Church is probably one of the most influential churches. See, for churches like us, and Pastor Ray McCauley, who is Josh's father, started Rhema, I don't know, sometime in the 80s. And it was pre-apartheid South Africa. And so he's a white man, but he had this call from God to actually see apartheid fall. And so we celebrate people like Nelson Mandela and stuff like that. Actually, it was people like Ray McCauley and actually Ray, behind the scenes, pulling the government strings at the time to see apartheid fall. I mean, the call of God in this man's life literally changed the nation. Today, he is revered and honored in South Africa as still like one of the spiritual generals or godfathers, if you like, for not just that nation, but for what God did from that church. I mean, at its prime, you know, it's pulling in 40,000 people at the weekend, blacks and whites together, even before that was allowed. And today, even still, you know, a few weeks ago, it was Ray's 70th birthday, so we had this celebration at Rhema, and the president of South Africa came to honor him and to say thank you for everything that he had done in the history of the nation of South Africa. Because, and he actually said, you know, it's because of you, Ray, that today blacks and whites can live together, because spiritually it was this church that stood and said, we will not allow apartheid in our nation. Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. I saw Ramaphosa a few weeks ago in Johannesburg. Like, it's pretty cool when the president turns up to your birthday bash, right? I don't see Arlene Foster coming for mine next March. I'm just saying that. I mean, I might invite her. There, Arlene. No, she's not the first minister anymore, is she? Whoever. Julian, what's his name? So that I want to tell you, you know, people like Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong, you know, would say that Hillsong Church, 300,000 people on the weekends, 1,000 services, 38 countries, was because of Ray McCauley, right? Creflo Dollar, all these massive ministries that we know and love, actually coming from this man. And I hadn't met him before. We know Josh well, that's his son. And we were sitting. So we went to visit Rhema because the guys hadn't seen it. Penny and I have been there before. And Josh had to take a call from somebody quite important. So he had to go into his car and take a call. And we're walking around the building, and we just went to step outside, and this guy comes out, a pastor comes out and goes, "Oh, Pastor Ray's here today." We were like, "Oh, really?" He said, "It's amazing. He's never here on a Wednesday. He hasn't been here on a Wednesday in years." And we were like, "Oh," he said, "Who are you with?" And we said, "Pastor Josh." He said, "Oh, right, okay." He said, "Do you want to come in?" Essentially is how it happened, right? So we find ourselves walking in to like his offices or whatever. And we walked in to meet Ray. Now, this never happens, right, ever. And we're like, holy smokes. And there wasn't even anyone. There's normally a crowd and, you know, all these people following him and picking him. None of that. He was just sitting at the table. So he said, "Guys, come on in." Now, he loves Irish people or people from Ireland, like Alan and Jasmine who come here. Alan would be his best friend, really. And he said, "Look, sit down." He just started to talk. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. You know when you touch something of God in somebody? I felt this with Pastor Prince when I met him. And then this, and Pastor Prince would be hugely honoring of Ray and what God has done in him, because he spoke encouragement out over Joseph's ministry and all sorts of stuff. But we sat there, and he's quite frail now. He's 70. He used to be a bodybuilder. Arnold Schwarzenegger lived with him, right? And they did bodybuilding together. I mean, it's bonkers, right? But he just started to talk about what grace had done. So when he looks back over his life at this stage, you're looking back over ministry, all right? He said, you know, how preaching a word that had blessed Gary many years ago, and just, you know, even recently, just hundreds of people coming and responding to the power of God, and just amazing what grace does. And then he said this one thing. He says, "Hey, but you know what you need? You need courage." He says, "You need courage and you need faith if you want to see a move of God. Even in grace, you need courage." And it was just like, boom, it hit me. And I went, he's right. There's something that we're missing in grace that he was able to speak into. I don't know if the other guys picked it up. I put it into my heart and I just kind of locked it there for a couple of days to go, "Lord, that was a moment for me." And actually, Ray said to us, he said, "This is not by accident." He said, "I haven't been here in years and years." You know, not at church, he has, but obviously being in church, but just not on a Wednesday. He said, "I've got an executive board meeting." He said, and then as he was getting up, after about 20 minutes, Josh comes in and we chime, we get a book and all that sort of stuff. We're heading out. And he said, "This is not by accident, guys. You know, we'll see you again. We'll see you again." And I walked out of that going, in that moment, actually, I felt the Lord deposited something in me, which was, church, you and I need courage. Not only is that a way into kickstarting the grace of God in our lives, but it's a way of accessing and possessing grace for us. Because whenever I looked at this man at this stage, and then I looked at his son, and we saw what God is doing in redemption, it was just incredibly inspirational. But you know where it starts? It starts as you receive grace, and then you start to let your heart expand with grace. There's a time where all of us need some courage, and courage is God-given. Because without courage, you'll never walk into grace. And I started to look over a couple of things in the Bible. I want to talk to you today about courage. Is that okay? Is that okay? Because some of us are disappointed. Because some of us are putting off today things that God has put in us. Why? We're waiting to feel more confident. Isn't that right? If I'm more confident, God, then I would do it. Lord, if I could just feel a little bit more confident. What are you putting off today as you wait to feel more confident? Because confidence and courage are not the same thing, and we have to make this distinction really clear. Most people assume that it is confidence that helps them to start new things, and confidence that will keep them going. If I could just feel more confident, Lord, then I would. I would make these changes, I would do that. But I actually think in that moment, the Lord said to me, Andrew, confidence and trust is really important, but courage is more important. Because in this world, right, I think that God is waiting for us, and he's waiting for you to allow courage to rise up. And you're going to explain what it is. It's about your heart, right? And there's, as I started to look, I just was flicking through even on the plane and looking at different things over the weekend. They're going, show me, Lord, where people walk confidently with you, but show me where it started, and it always started in a minute of courage. Do you get that? Many of us never start because we're waiting to feel confident. We're waiting to feel like it's going to be all right. And the Lord says, it will be all right. Why? Don't be discouraged. I'll be with you wherever you go. But you've got to be courageous. That's why I put a lion up there. And it's not even just you being courageous. In the biblical sense, it's like Aslan, if you like. It's the lion in you, the lion of Judah roaring in you, and he is your courage. But you've got to take that step with him. You can't sit around all day saying, grace, 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 grace. The Lord said, absolutely, there's your promised land. Now go and inhabit it. Go and possess it. It's all yours. It's bought. It's paid for. You will never, ever, ever have to do any more. I've given you the land. It's yours. Now walk into it. Be brave and be strong and be courageous, because that is what is needed today. We need to be bold. We need to recapture again that we may not feel that confident at times, but we will never feel confident waiting for it to come. The Lord says, be courageous, and your confidence is going to come. Amen? And what confidence means, making a start. It means doing something different. You need courage to begin something. When you begin something, there will be a lot of uncertainty. David Viscott says this, if you have the courage to begin, you'll have the courage to succeed. Many of us have lost the courage to begin again new. And I was preaching to myself, but I felt the Lord brought me to South Africa to sit under one of his generals over generations. Now, talk about courage. I mean, what do we worry about at times? This is a man that all the powers of darkness came against. Why? Because he was pulling down apartheid, like apartheid. Celebrated all over the world today, Nelson Mandela, all the rest of it. But it was this guy who God put something in his heart. Do you think he was afraid at times? Do you think he was scared at times? Do you not know? I could only imagine. I've heard some stuff, but I could only imagine what it was like when people were coming to their houses to kill them. The courage that God had put in him. And today he walks with a boldness and an authority. Why? Because at one point he said, I'm going to step in and I'm going to be strong because he's with me wherever I go. Amen? There's a lot of uncertainty when you begin something new. We're going to talk to you about that for our church. Uncertainty about the outcome or consequences. Uncertainty about the environment. Uncertainty about whether or not you'll get the support that you need. Uncertainty about the response of other people. Uncertainty is always there. That's a given. However, whenever things are uncertain, what our mind does is we normally respond with fear. If it's not certain, then I feel afraid, so I pull back. These uncertainties that are all around us give rise to a fear of failure, let's be honest. We can have a fear of loss, a fear of rejection, a fear of looking foolish, a fear of being alone. But grace, his perfect, unmerited, perfect love, it says in 1 John 4:18, drives out fear. That's why we preach grace. That's why we preach his love. But what, as we're receiving, in tandem with that has to come, as I receive, so I step in. As I receive, so I begin something new in my life. If not, you're going to get stuck. Because the Lord didn't say to Joshua, there's the land. It doesn't matter what you do. He said, actually, there was one tribe, if you remember, who did stay. And they were, you know, it's like there was no judgment, there was no condemnation, but they missed out. It was like there was fullness over there. There was not just for them, but for the generations that would come, for them and for their children. And he said, but you've got to get your feet into that water. You've got to feel it, you know, as he's crossing the Jordan. Think about that for courage. Now, I'm going to show you at the end how he then approaches his Jericho. But he's standing there with his feet in the water, getting higher and higher, with nothing but Jesus, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant in front, going, keep your eyes on that. Whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow him across, and you will walk in. Do you get that? That's courage. Confidence would be, oh, don't worry, I've done the whole Jericho in full flood thing before. I've been here before. I've seen it work. All right? Do you understand the difference? Courage is at the beginning right now for some of you going, I'm going to do something different based on the grace that Jesus has given me. I may feel terrified. I may feel afraid. I may have fear. I may be uncertain, but I am all in because your promise is you've given it to me in grace and you'll be with me no matter where I go. Amen? Some of us need to shake up a little bit in Jesus' name. Can I say that? Because the times that we live in are times for courageous people. I felt this rising me this week. At the start of this church, Penny and I were so flipping bold. Some of the things that we had to walk through and the criticisms and the nonsense and to try to establish something, and I lost something in that. Over that, disappointment knocked it out of me. Fear knocked it out of me. But at my heart, can I tell you something? We're bold people. Penny and I are courageous people. We've never settled for the norm. We've never settled for just whatever it is. We've always been people who've said, God, if you are good and you say who you are, then I'm stepping in. I'm going for it. Does that make sense? And some of us need to stop listening. I said a few weeks ago, the problem is we spend so much time listening to ourselves, we don't spend enough time talking to ourselves about who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he has called me for. Oh, but there's this and there's that, and I feel this and I feel that. Seriously, can we get our heads out of our backsides and get them onto Jesus and start to be bold again? I mean, seriously, I don't know where it starts for you. See that uncertainty of how people react? Take one of those leaflets this week, put it into somebody's hand who you know, and say, come and discover the love of God for you. That, for some of you, might be big, bold courage. Do you get that? But you'll never be confident that God will do what he will do unless you first make a step up into grace. Oh, don't look at me like that. Just tell me that Jesus loves me. He does love you, but he's got so much more for you and so much more for me. I'm going to go really, really quick. Faith, that belief in God, right, is being sure of what we hope for. It's being certain of what we do not see. I don't want to give you the person who said this quote, but it's an author, but not a very edifying one. But he said, the scariest moment is always just before you start. After that, things can only get better. It's only scary before you start. But after that, things always get better. But the problem is some of us haven't even got started really onto this journey of grace because we're stuck in our fear. That's why the Lord says every single time he's leading you into grace, he says, don't be afraid, because he knows. Every single time, don't be afraid, because he knows. Don't be afraid, because he knows. So do you want to know what courage actually is? The word courage is actually defined as the ability to do something that frightens you. Isn't that interesting? It originates from Middle English, if you're interested. It denotes the heart, the seat of feelings. Lebab in Hebrew, if you're interested in how the Old Testament says it. It's from the Old French courage, meaning heart. I read this week because I wanted to know. Simply stated, can I just say this? What courage means is the ability to do something really brave from a motivation of your heart. Biblical courage that is good always relies upon the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in you to strengthen and to motivate you to be courageous. You can read Romans 5 around that. And in the Bible, it's also called good cheer. It's a motivation of your heart. That's why we preach grace week after week in here. That's why at our heart and at our center, we are a church that is about the unmerited favor and grace of God. Why? Because as you receive grace into your heart, it is the condition of your heart which is determining what your outside world is like. You get that? If it is about you, essentially in your world at the center, you'll never be brave. You'll never step into grace fully. You'll always just be slightly on the edge, right? But that's why we, every week in here, tell you how much Jesus loves you, tell you how much Jesus has done for you, tell you that there is no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. We are all free, amen? He wants you healed, whole, sealed and delivered. I'm yours, okay, to quote that song, right? Because when you receive that into your heart, what happens is it drives out fear. That's the condition. And what that does is that creates the environment for courage. God's people are meant to be as bold as lions, do you know that? Because they have the Lion of Judah in them. Jesus had courage. He wasn't a wimp. He didn't pull back. He was all in. He didn't come and say, well, I'll do this as long as it suits me. If I can figure out where, you know, in the things of my life, you know, I'm all in. He was bold. And my encouragement for you today, if you can capture in spirit, is, you know, this boldness and confidence is the completely comes against and is the opposite of the spirit of fear that the devil is trying to steal from you in. When God commands, I mean, Mark 6:50 is where you hear this thing, good cheer. Jesus gave the command to the disciples when they see him walking on the water and the Sea of Galilee coming towards them. He said, you know, the Greek word there is, you know, courage and good cheer. Literally, be bold and be confident, right? When God commands us not to be afraid, to be of good cheer and to have courage, he's always commanding not to make it difficult for you, but he's speaking against the fear that robs us. Does that make sense? And there's always a reason. This is the thing I found last week is I imagined the way it plays in my head, I replayed the conversation with Pastor Ray. And I thought, imagine the knight's lying in his bed, right? Where he had something in his heart that said, all men are created equal. Do you know that stuff? We see it now and we kind of look back and it'll make a great movie one day. But God had put something in his heart that all men were created equal. That just because you were a different color didn't mean that you weren't human. It just meant you were a different color, but you were equal under God. Right? I don't think he would have had any clue at that stage with that initial calling what the Lord was leading him into. Right? But there was something about his heart. I think if he had have known, I think sometimes when I asked Josh, he said, if you had known at the stage where you're into it, you probably wouldn't get into it. You know what I mean? But he said, there was something about heart here that when God was speaking into that situation to say, be bold, be strong, have some courage. Just when Ray said that word, it literally hit me like that. The Spirit of the Lord said, Andrew, have some courage. It's because the Lord is always, the reason why we need to be strong and be bold, the grace within us, Allah, is because it's always for a purpose. To see a nation united, one of the most evil ideologies broken, and for one nation to become an example to the world of what God could do. That was Ray's story. It's bonkers. But he wouldn't have known at that stage what God was going to do. All he knows is that when the command comes from the Lord, the encouragement comes, be courageous. It's because he's just about to lead you into something incredible. But you've got to step up into it. Does that make sense? Just think about it from a spiritual point of view. If you can't rise up in the grace that God has given you, what you've done is you've given way to fear. And once you've given way to fear, then grace is undone. Because you're operating in that spirit. Still, you're loved, you're provided for, but we're talking about fullness, right? We're talking about this nation. It's capturing something about the goodness and the love of God, which will change men, women, and children, amen? That's what we're talking about. I think, if I could go quickly, that God does not tell you to have courage with no reason behind it. In every incident where God says, fear not, there follows a reason to have it. I mean, it's all over the place. I just was going through a few, you know, when God calms Abraham's fears. Remember I talked about the battle with Sodom and all that sort of stuff, and he comes out in Genesis 15. I spoke on it around money. You know, God says, fear not, Genesis 15:1. So after the battle with the kings of Sodom, the captivity of Lot and his rescue, God says, don't worry, fear not, I am your shield. When Hagar's despairing for her life and her child in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord comes and says, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is, Genesis 21. In Isaiah 41, God's promise to the Israelites, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Each time we see God saying, fear not, it's not because we are brave and courageous in and of ourselves, but because God is protecting us, he's guiding us, he's encouraging us to step into more of that. Does that make sense? So when you feel the Spirit of the Lord saying, you step up and go for it, okay? You will have a moment where you will go, ah, flipping, Nora. Ooh, just go. What about the New Testament? See the angel of the Lord? I was thinking about Christmas coming up. I love this. You know, we see the angel of the Lord telling Mary to have courage in the face of, the trial of being pregnant with Jesus, right? No husband. Could be put to death. And the angel of the Lord comes, and what's he say first thing? Don't be afraid. Have courage. Have courage, have courage, have courage, have courage. Why can she have courage? It says in Luke 1:30, do not fear, you have found favor with God. Do you know what he speaks to you today? Why would you be afraid whenever you, Joseph, have found favor with God? Josh got up last week at the end of my sermon, and he has a brilliant way of summarizing stuff. And he says, the world has luck. And the thing about luck is, luck's brilliant because it always works, right? Think about it. I want to be lucky, this guy had said to him, because luck always works. You know, if you're lucky, it's going your way. And the Spirit of the Lord said to him, you know, but you've got favor, and favor never fails. When it's his favor, it never fails. your work, it's going to be a hard road. Okay? Get strong, get all you want, but, you know, carrying the weight of the world and your provision and your safety and your future on your shoulders is just tough. But his favor never fails. Never fails. And what is the spirit at this time of year when we read this story? Do not fear. Have courage. Why? Because you have found favor with God. Can I say every single one of you has found favor with God today? So don't be afraid. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. The shepherds are simply commanded to be of good cheer by the angel in Luke 2. Zacharias was told not to fear because his prayer had been heard. And everywhere you look, you see the courage is commanded as a result. Why does God say have courage? Because we receive grace. And we know that his favor never fails. Because it's not about us anyway, but we've got to step up into it. You get that? All of my pastor friends who are smashing it in terms of what God is doing in them, do you know what their heart, Pastor Joseph Prince? He's one of the bravest guys you'll ever meet. Unbelievable courage in the face of all the opposition, spiritual, physical, and every other way, to stand on grace. To take what grace promises and to step right in. Are you stuck today? Going around in circles? Frustrated that grace is not working for you? Have some courage to start to step in to the things that God is showing you. Let me just say this. You'll be start to feel confidence. This is my last point. Confidence is an outcome. It's a result of constant practice, I guess, that allows you to see God prove himself faithful. It's a result of encountering the unexpected and dealing with it over and over again as the Lord shows you how. Does that make sense? You know, if you're feeling like there's a lack of confidence in your life about who God is and what he says, confidence will be the outcome of taking courage. I can show you that from the Bible. We want to feel more confident, so we wait because we're not feeling confident. The Lord says, have some courage. You'll kickstart some confidence in your life. And you'll be absolutely cacking it, going, oh, I don't know whether. But he says, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I've already given it to you, and I'll be with you wherever you go. Okay, so there's part of the thing of I'm not going to listen to my feelings in that moment. I'm not going to listen to all of my fear. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm going to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to step up into it, and I'm going to go. We spend a lot of time seeking more confidence. We wait to feel confident before we take action. That's a mistake. Do you know why? Because we will never feel confident until we try and we see God prove himself faithful. Do you get that? You'll never feel confident until you try and you put yourself in the place where his grace is just super abounding to you. That's the truth of it. I just have this sense that the Lord is saying to you, look, you know, you can try and it might not work out exactly the way that you want, but the people who can pick themselves up again and go, I've got unmerited favor in my life and go again, will see the fullness of God in their lives. Every time. Let me take about Joshua. Okay, so when he crosses over, he's seen the Lord says, I've already given this to you. Look at the difference between the people as they're heading over the river and the Joshua that faces Jericho. One command of the Lord is about courage. The next one is confidence. Why? Because they stepped up and did what the Lord asked them to do. So he says, get your feet into the river, put the ark in front of you, and then take a step across, right? What's the first battle that they face in the promised land? Jericho, all right? Now look at Joshua as he leads. The Lord commands courage, be bold, I am with you. We'll go the whole way through Joshua 1. And he keeps saying about be bold, step into it. Even when you can't, you know, what did Joshua have? All he had was the promise of God. He had the promise of grace. He had the promise of provision. He had the promise of healing. He had the promise for him and his children. He had the promise for the generations. That's all that he had. He had no physical proof. He had nothing he could put his hand to other than a river that in the natural was going to wipe them away. But he steps in. The rivers go all the way back to Adam. Remember this? All of your condemnation roll right back to the source and they walk through into promise. Now they have challenges then, but what does the Lord do? He comes, and this is where the commander of the Lord's army comes, and Joshua says, are you for me, or are you against me? All this stuff. The Lord downloads to him and says, you know what? I want you to walk around with the trumpets and I want you to blow these trumpets 7 times around the city walls and keep walking. Now in our minds, we would go, are you bonkers? But you don't see Joshua question, do you? Why? Because he was bold enough and confident enough to step in, because the time before when he acted with his courage, all right, it built a resilience in him. It built an experience in him to go, God did it then. He proved himself faithful. And now I am confident whenever he comes to me and says, walk around the walls, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I've seen him, tested him, and proved him to be faithful to every word that he speaks. Amen? Some of you need to step in. You need to step up and step in, and you will see the faithfulness of God. Not because you're good, not because you're perfect, not because you have it all together, not because you will not make mistakes, because he loves you. And he has promised you that no matter where you go, you will have his favor, his love, his guidance, his protection, his fullness, his healing throughout your generations. So step right in and be brave. Amen? That's what I feel the Lord is saying to us right now. We need to shake ourselves up, not in the sense of being condemned, but going, flipping Lord, there's so much more for me. You know, I can remember a time in my life when, you know, when we walked through healing and stuff like that and all the rest of it. And, you know, my confidence was higher than what it is now. And I felt like, what am I going to do? Just wait until the Lord speaks to my heart about it. And just, no, the Lord said, be bold. What do you know? Do you know that I'm a healer? Right. Well, the next person that's sick, pray for them. And when you see them healed, you're going to have more confidence. I just don't know if the Lord will provide for my future. So I just need to work harder. And I need to, okay. Maybe your first step of taking some courage as your hand is getting a revelation from the Lord on tithing and giving and multiplication and freedom and stepping right into it. And then when you see month after month after month how the Lord blesses, provides abundantly more than you could ever do on your own back, maybe you'll just have more confidence in his word. Amen? But we have too many people under grace going, just do it for me, Lord. And the Lord goes, I love you, but I love you enough not to treat you like a child. I want you to step in for you, for yours, for the generations to come. All right? And you're going to see my goodness. Why? Because I've already given it to you. Have some courage. Let the grace of God change your heart, the condition of your heart. Unmerited love and favor, change the condition of your heart. So then when you're met with life's challenges, you don't kind of shrink back and go, all right. You step in. Is that okay? They don't feel stirred about their life. To go, I'm not going to just sit around and go, grace, grace, grace. It is grace. There's no other message. There's no other heart. But take the grace of God and put faith right into the middle of it. And you will find your confidence growing in who Jesus is. Jesus did this with the, I mean, just once you see this and the Lord puts it in your heart, it's really hard to read the Bible any other way. Because you know what's actually underneath it all? Let me just say this. It says in a couple of verses, you can, there's two things, just let me say very quickly, I'm over time. And when he goes to face Jericho, his confidence comes from the fact that at a point just before he took courage, when he couldn't see it, he gets through the river, his confidence builds. Flip me, you said you would get us through. I'm banked it. So the next thing I face, the Lord speaks to me, boof. I'm in. All right? Now, what happens is this. In Joshua chapter 5, I love this. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan, right, before the Israelites, until they had crossed over. Now, listen to this. Their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Let me tell you why this is so important to finish. I just read that verse, and I skipped over it. And then yesterday, I don't know what was happening. Penny was out. I was just prepping this. I was just going through in my head. And I went, I need to read that verse again. So I stuck it in. Because know what the Lord said to me? This is spiritual. This is the spiritual battle right now. Listen to me, folks, because you're just about to hear something prophetically into your life, which will unlock stuff. When the enemy knows that he can continually come to you and just play the same old tune. Do you know what I mean? Here we go again with the same old, and you dance to that same old tune, and you go round and round and round and round. Do you know why the Lord says, be bold? Because it breaks the power that the devil has over you. Because their heart melted. The enemies of God, the Amorites, the kings west of the Jordan, the Canaanite kings, when they heard what? whenever they heard that what God had done. So Joshua takes a stand, God honor his word, and then the enemies go, flipping heck, there's no point going there. Their hearts melted so that they couldn't even face the Israelites. I'm speaking it over you prophetically. When you have courage in grace, when you have faith in grace, the enemy who has played you and the demonic that has come around you playing the same old, will not even be able to face you. You will break the power of it. You will break the curse of it. You will break the stronghold of it. Because once the enemy knows that God in you and you're stepping into grace is bigger than any of his plans, he will leave you well alone. Amen. So some of us need to stand up. Because it's not just about walking in, it's about releasing ourselves from all of these things that the enemy does to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So be bold, church. Be strong. Why? Because God is with you. He, do not be discouraged. He is with you. Do not be afraid. He is with you. Amen? So let's say to the Lord, I'm in. I'm not going to allow the enemy to play me like a cheap flute or whatever, all right? Whatever that is. Is there a saying? Because right now I have run out of words. Play me like a fiddle. How do I not know that? A cheap fiddle? A big fiddle? A wee fiddle? Be strong and let your heart take courage, it says in Psalm 27:14. Do you know what? You know what I believe? I believe that God strengthens the heart of people who show courage. I believe that. I believe that when he sees that faith, I believe there's a big deposit of Holy Spirit strength put in you. I want to speak to you about the things that have just, on this I'll finish because I'm 5 minutes over. On those things which have terrorized you, come around you, the Lord says, you know what? Step up. Be bold. You will feel afraid, have courage. Don't wait until you feel confident because you've got it in the wrong order. Courage means I'm standing up right now. I've got nothing but Jesus and what he says to me, but I'm going to walk confidently into it. Amen? We haven't even scratched the surface of his unmerited favor for us, you know, his grace for us. We haven't plumbed the depths yet of the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of God's love. Because we've allowed fear to rule. When we're faced with something, we've allowed fear to rule. Let's not do it anymore, church. It's not our season. Our season is taking with great faith that the Lord's put in us to possess everything that he has given to us freely by his grace. Amen.